Regina!
You're listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show.
Hello there, and welcome back, Monster Sci-Fi fans, for yet another special podcast with my special guest, Chief Editor, or Editor-in-Chief, Robert Ring of the Sci-Fi Blog. So, Robert, thank you once again for joining this podcast with me.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So, this is now part two of the Godzilla series I'm doing for the podcast. So, please refer to part one and really kind of start from the beginning. As far as the Godzilla origins, it's a lot of information that we talked about, and it kind of makes sense to kind of follow in that order, but like me, and maybe you, you probably watched the Godzilla films out of order, but it's kind of interesting doing the research that you can see the progression of how this character of Godzilla has grown. So, but in this segment, as we talked in the last one was going to deal with the Showa era of Godzilla. This one, and again, if it's wrong, please don't hate us, but let us know. It's the Heisei series. Now, in this era, the second of the three, we have a total of seven films. And with this, this is going to be a little bit different as far as the way Godzilla was portrayed. A lot of the times we saw him as a villain and later on becoming a hero. In this one, he's going to be occasionally seen as an anti-hero. So it's kind of a nice little twist. And prior to that, we had pretty much like a spell of maybe 10 years from the last Godzilla movie to 1984-1985 period. And this leads us right into the return of Godzilla in 1984. And I remember this movie because, one, I was excited to go to the theaters again to see this. Two, Raymond Burr reprising his role from the first movie, the original Godzilla, back in 1954, was also going to make his appearance in this movie as well. You would have thought that because you had 10 years to kind of make up a new film and you had Raymond Burr based on the last, the very first movie, that this was going to be a really great movie. I was really disappointed how this came to be. This only had the one creature, you know, metaphor creature from the first movie to now, to this period, and that was about it. Raymond Burr was just talking to the camera that I've seen this creature before or something to that effect, and he really didn't add a whole lot, in my opinion, to the movie. The action was pretty bad. I really can't describe it anymore that this was probably one of the worst movies. Not as bad as the remake Godzilla, the U.S. version, but as far as the whole series, I think this by far really bored me to tears. I'm not sure how you feel on that, Robert.
Well, my Return of Godzilla experience is a little bit different from yours because I've not seen the American version. I've only seen the Japanese version. So, Okay. Therefore, I've only seen the version that does not have Raymond Burr in it. As anyone who's familiar with the series knows, that can make a big difference. And mm-hmm. In this case, I think it makes a pretty big difference. Not huge. It's not a great movie, but this one, well, you know, I take that back. It's for me, this is one of the better ones of the series. It's not amazing. It's not totally amazing, but it's a solid movie for me. What really gets me on this movie is the fact that, you know, after going through all these crazy characterizations of Godzilla in the Showa era, now they've brought him back. He's just a mean creature, and it takes a serious tone. We have characters who are not, like, running around, you know, getting involved in little antics, but who are actually terrified, who are actually, you know, afraid that they're going to be killed by this giant monster. So that alone for me was enough for me to – I like this one.
Well, in that respect, yes. It does bring back the origin or the original. This is a mean monster, not the good guy that we kind of later on grew to love and he will protect Earth and all that. This kind of like reset the button of no more. He's now mean, green, big G. But story-wise, and again, I'm going to have to look at the Japanese version, but other than he looked great, I just didn't get a whole lot of oomph out of the movie. So, and but you know, then again, I was happy to see him. I just wish there was a better plot line, better storyline. Which, in all honesty, there is not a whole lot of great stories that are out there. I mean, we will, in my opinion, find maybe one or two that are like, wow, this is an overall best film, but this was not one of the stronger films that I liked. So on that note, let's go to the next one, 1989. This one's going to be Godzilla vs. Biollante. Now, this one was kind of weird in a sense that, how can I describe it as something other than a mutated rose bush that Godzilla was fighting? I mean, it sucks in Godzilla at one point, and like almost like eating him whole. Like, wow, he's okay, a plant. I really don't know what to say about this. I know it supposedly it didn't do well in the box office, and I think because this is some creature that they've never seen before, that the audience just didn't connect, and maybe that's part of the same reason why I didn't connect to this. But I don't know. I'm not sure if he felt differently other than how I feel about a mutated rosebush creature.
Overall, I don't like Godzilla vs. Biollante. This is probably, in my opinion, one of the worst one of the worst entries in the franchise. However, I do actually kind of like Biollante himself, not in rosebush form. But later on, he comes out in full-fledged monster form, and he's not a rose anymore, and he's like this big bloated beast with all these tentacles. And, you know, it's kind of like half. It's like the top half of him is kind of like Godzilla. The bottom half of him is kind of like
octopus
with a huge, like, really fat stomach. Points for creativity, but overall, I can't recommend this movie.
Yeah, it was weird. It was kind of painful to watch. But, again, you're bound to have clunkers. You know, out of the whole this 28 film, you're bound to have one or two. So this was one of them. Why don't you take the next one? And this one I love. So I'm interested to hear what you think about this.
Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, or Ghidorah, however you want to pronounce it. I really like Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah. Much better than Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, which is the original appearance of the monster in the Godzilla series. This one is just like this giant jumble of time traveling back and forth and finding monsters and taking them back in time and taking them forward in time. And we get some cool fights between Godzilla and King Ghidorah. We also get to see Mecha King Ghidorah later on, which is definitely awesome because King Ghidorah is one of the coolest monsters of the series. And then when you make him Mecha King Ghidorah, it just like ups the cool factor even that much more.
Yeah.
Also, one of the things that's really strange about this movie, it has some really weird, really bad special effects involving an android who can supposedly run really, really fast, but he runs in slow motion but moves by things really fast.
Yeah.
Really, really bad special effects. Funny to watch, though. I really like this movie.
Yeah, and oddly enough, it's probably one of my favorites in this period and maybe one of my top two of the whole series, just because I love the idea of they took Godzilla when he was bad, out of time, and skipped the supposedly the good times that, you know, Godzilla was the protector, and still kept him in the future as still the mean Godzilla. So now you have this running storyline with the Japanese soldiers fighting on an island, finding the Godzilla-saurus, so to speak, and how it protected them against the U.S. Army or the Marines and drove them off and basically was their protector. But it was kind of a weird tie-in towards the end, which I didn't understand the whole connection between the guy who found him and later on how he was being devoured. But aside from that, this was the first time that I saw, like, at least the battle scenes were, like, top-notch. I was just floored because I had not seen really decent effects up to that point. And story-wise, I was really compelled because despite the android, which, you know, is a guilty pleasure, yeah, he's kind of goofy looking, but this was my by far one of my favorites. And if you are in the market to watch this online, and I just found this out just a couple of days ago, and I told Robert about this, go to a website called Crackle.com. Crackle, Crackle.com. Think of it as a new Hulu. I think that Sony's putting this out, and they have several Godzilla films, including this one, which that was the very first one that I played, and I was like happy to see that. So, yes, you'll see little commercials in between, and it's done partly inappropriately sometimes because it did it right in the middle of certain scenes. But being free and online, you can't complain, so I advise you to do that. But this one, I was just impressed all around. This really hit all the right bells. Decent story. Unlike, you know, you're bored in the very beginning, waiting for the monster to reappear. This was throughout the whole movie. So you got a lot of monster FaceTime, so to speak. All right, moving on to the next one. Once more. There's a running theme here with Mothra, but we have Godzilla versus Mothra. Again, we've talked about this before, being a moth. Great. But it doesn't add a whole lot of oomph for being, you know, an opponent here. I will give it credit for this movie that the effects were a little more improved as far as making Mothra a little bit more, I don't know, prettier, making it look more fuzzier. But again, it really doesn't do a whole lot considering what Mothra really is. And now he, in addition to his flying ability and spinning webs or whatever, he can do some kind of, I don't know, stardust, sleepy time thing coming out of his wings. I don't know what that thing is called. But that was something new that we've never seen Mothra do before.
Yeah, well, you know, which one? Godzilla vs. Mothra. I get confused. Mothra vs. Godzilla, Godzilla vs. Mothra. This is Godzilla vs. Mothra. Not really. You know, for me, I think there's not a whole lot more to say about it than other than that. The thing about the Mothra movies that get me is the Infant Island twins, the two little Mr. women that speak and they both say the exact same thing at the exact same time. They just really bother the hell out of me. that has going against it. Godzilla vs. Mothra, not, you know, it has a few cool scenes. I don't really care for it.
Yeah. Although, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. They did Mothra movies by himself, and I thought they were decent enough for what that was. I just think that when he pairs up with, like, Godzilla or, you know, the monster, you know, Godzilla's just way out of his league, and Mothra just has his own little, you know, little leaguers of bad monsters to fight with. Have you ever seen any of the Mothra movies by themselves?
No, you know, I'm familiar with them. I have not yet had the chance to see any of them, though.
Okay, so. Just curious. All right, why don't you take the next one?
All right, we have Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2. Now, this one features what I mentioned on the last podcast is my favorite non-Godzilla Godzilla monster of the franchise, which is, of course, Mechagodzilla. Just such a cool monster, I can't get enough of him. Unfortunately, not all the movies that have him in it are that good. However,
yeah.
this one for me is awesome. We waste very little time before we get to the first giant monster fight, first of all. So it starts with a bang. And just in general, this movie has so much time devoted purely to giant monsters clobbering each other.
Yeah.
You know, then we get, you know, Mechagodzilla alone is cool enough. And he has a slightly different origin story in this one, which is okay. We also have Godzillasaur, which is a little baby Godzilla, sort of maybe even cuter than Minya, the son of Godzilla. And then to top it all off, a giant floating robot who sprays radiation, rainbow-covered radiation. We get the little trivia that Godzilla has a second brain that's located in his butt.
Yeah. There are things you can overlook, but, wow. Okay. If that's what you want to do, fine. We'll say that's where it goes. Yeah, There are some things that I'm like, you really want that to be part of his lore, huh?
Well, you know,
okay.
you know, for me, and what I really like about that is just the fact, first of all, how stupid it is. I like that for some reason. But you know, obviously, it just perfectly sets up the movie to where, you know, at some point we're gonna have humans firing rockets at Godzilla's butt.
Yeah. Great. He's you can't get like a big, you know, Preparation H wipe or something like that to disinfect and then shoot the missiles. No, you're just gonna go full throttle, you know.
Full throttle.
Yeah. But the other thing, again, researching into this movie, again, IMDb.com, was that this movie was supposed to be the remake of the King Kong versus Godzilla. And the reason why it didn't get produced, because the producers at that time felt, because Ted Turner and Turner Entertainment had owned the rights for King Kong, that it was just too high of a price for the rights to use them. They thought, why not use the Mecha King Kong from King Kong Escapes? If you know that movie, that's when King Kong fights himself in a mecha-like robot. They planned to use that, but they felt that because this was too similar to King Kong, that this was something that they didn't want to get a lawsuit for. So they basically scrapped that idea, and hence why we got the Mecha Godzilla in this one. All right, so moving on, we have Godzilla versus Space Godzilla back in 1994. Now, this was something that I was just like, very cool. This is not so much, you know, a Mecha Godzilla that looked like Godzilla, but this is something that came from outer space that has his genetic particles absorbed and became this new creature, a big super creature. And I thought that this was a really cool monster effect. Seeing all these spiky protrusions, more so than the actual Godzilla movie and we've seen before. So I'm not sure, you know, if he thought this was a cool monster looking, or it's just something that, you know, another Biollante creature.
For me, Space Godzilla is a cool monster. I like Space Godzilla. The movie, for me though, it doesn't really pay off. We get basically what amounts to one long scene of monsters hitting each other and breathing radiation at each other, and it didn't really take it anywhere else. This one for me is I could pass.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and do the next one?
Sure, Godzilla vs. Destoroyah. This movie features Godzilla in probably his coolest incarnation of any of the Godzilla movies. He's a big red glowing Godzilla.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact reason why. Something about the radiation he's absorbed, I think. And he essentially is turned into a ticking time bomb. Just a really cool version of Godzilla. And that's, you know, I can almost just stop there.
Now,
I like this one.
Refresh my memory, correct me if I'm wrong, was this the one that in order to get rid of Godzilla, they had the black hole created?
Yeah, that
okay.
Is the one, and that's where, if I remember correct, you know what, that's not this one, not this one. That's Godzilla versus Megaguirus, I believe.
Okay.
This is the one where they have to lure Godzilla into a volcano.
Okay.
I think.
We're going to have to read
that. You know what? I take that back. I don't think that's right either.
Well, you know, after a while, they all look alike and all sound alike anyway. But
a lot of them, unfortunately, do.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing I did find out that there was an alternate ending, and this is something you can see on the DVD, that both Godzilla and Destoroyah were going to be melting down, so to speak, in an alternate ending, together at the same time, rather than just Godzilla. But this one I'm going to have to revisit again because, you know, it's been a while since I've seen this one. But yeah,
I will say Destoroyah was a really mean, really bad-looking antagonist for Godzilla. It's one of the more evil-looking monsters we got.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I give you props on the fact that Godzilla was probably one of his best looking times all lit up basically. And I was just like, wow. It's a nice little image that we see of him every time he goes up, about to burst, so to speak. So.
Right.
Okay. Well, oddly enough, even though this is a short segment for the High C series, again, we're only talking about seven films here, unfortunately, this brings an end to our podcast for this segment, and we are going to do another one, and this is going to be the last series, which is referred to as the Millennium Series for Godzilla. So I thank you very much, fans, for listening to the Sci-Fi Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. And Robert, thank you for being my guest. And I promise you, we're going to do another podcast on the last part, so stick around. We have more to give you.